Hello, Zimbabwe, and welcome to Live Talk. We are coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. I'm your host, Gibbs Dube. Today on Live Talk Diaspora Forum, we are talking about challenges and successes of Zimbabweans living outside the country. But first, a look at what is happening elsewhere. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken held talks on Tuesday and Wednesday in Nigeria, the largest country by population and economy in sub-Saharan Africa. His visit to the continent comes amid concerns about stability in the Sahel sub-region of West Africa, following several coups in Mali, Burkina Faso, Guinea, and Niger since 2020. VOA senior diplomatic correspondent Cindy Sain reports.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken met with Nigerian President Bola Tinubu on Tuesday and praised his leadership, but said it is no secret that there are challenges that need to be overcome to unlock the full potential of Africa's largest democracy.
Tackling corruption, making it easier for foreign companies to repatriate capital, these will all pull in a transformative direction and pull in transformative investment. I know that President Tinubu is focused on these challenges, and we also welcome his very bold economic reforms to unify the currency and fuel subsidies.
Blinken said he had discussed the July coup by a military junta in neighboring Niger.
We also discussed challenges to democracy and security in West Africa. We very much appreciate Nigeria's leadership in ECOWAS to try to move to a return to the constitutional order and democracy in Niger after it's been disrupted.
Blinken traveled to Nigeria from the Ivory Coast, where he met with Ivorian President Alassane Ouattara and discussed regional security challenges.
We appreciate particularly the leadership shown by Cote d'Ivoire in countering extremism and violence.
Blinken said this is his third trip to Nigeria as the top U.S. diplomat, including a virtual visit during the early days of the COVID-19 pandemic. One expert told VOA, the Biden administration's diplomatic commitment to Africa is remarkable.
I've been working in and on Africa since 1985, and I've really never seen so much attention by the U.S. government to the continent, which I think is a great sign of U.S. engagement.
On Monday, Blinken launched the trip with a stopover in Cape Verde, a longstanding partner of the United States. Cindy Sain, VOA News.
Former parliamentarians Job Scala and Corpus Tole have been found guilty of inciting violence. Scala was arrested after attending a funeral of his client Mo Blessing Ali, who was killed by ZANU-PF activist Pius Jamba Mukandi. Mukandi was recently sentenced to 30 years in prison. Scala is facing another charge of publishing falsehoods, which was postponed today to next Monday. He has been in remand prison for more than 1.5 years. The two have pleaded not guilty to charges being laid against them. Some members of the Job Scala Solidarity Movement and opposition activists staged a peaceful protest outside the Magistrates' Court in Harare today, demanding his immediate release. Scala and Stoles attorney Harrison Komo explains what happened in court today.
Really sad. We've just come out of the Magistrates' Court, and Magistrate Committee has convicted both Job Scala and Honorable Godfrey Sithole for inciting to commit public violence. The matter was rolled over to Monday the 29th for the purpose of dealing with issues regarding mitigation. The major reason for the movement of the matter to the 29th of January was basically to allow co-counsel for Mr. Honorable Sithole to be in attendance, as he was not in attendance.
Are you happy with the ruling of the conviction?
We have just consulted with clients, and they are extremely unhappy with the finding. They persist their innocence regarding posting the video in question. They equally deny
providing transport to people who are allegedly to have participated in acts of public violence in Chitungiza, Nyanzima and Petrus area. So naturally we have to walk through the motions of law, but the end result is the High Court. We are appealing, definitely, in terms of the claims and structures.
Can you comment on what happened earlier when you were being struggling actually to get inside the court?
The case attracted a lot of attention from the media, as you can see. So many of you from members of the public, supporters and people who sympathize with the two gentlemen's cause. The very unfortunate incident is when a police officer stopped senior lead counsel in the matter from accessing the courtroom where he was supposed to present clients. And the act of pointing a gun at a legal practitioner who is about to access a courtroom from a courtroom door, I find that to be extremely deplorable. The court has dealt with it, and the state has been asked to investigate that incident and report to court. And we expect that when it comes back on the 29th, the state is going to present it in court.
That was Harrison Nkomo, a lawyer representing former parliamentarians Job Sikala and Godfrey Tole of the Opposition Citizens Coalition for Change. Back to our main topic today. Some professional Zimbabweans who leave the country for greener pastures end up getting menial jobs due to the downgrading of their qualifications, failure to advance their education, or simply lack of targeted work in worst nations. But lucky ones at times find themselves in fields related to their profession. Tonight we are talking to some who managed to get jobs of their choice and others that ended up doing menial work despite their high professional qualifications. Please stay tuned as we take a brief break.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We are also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. And today, we are talking to Zimbabweans living outside the country about their failures and successes. To discuss this issue, we are joined on Skype by Bruce Ncube, a choir master who worked with the Mkati Theatre from the age of 10 before doing his solo performances. And we are going to be joined also by Ms. Victor Smatutu of Zim Imbowodo. And right now I'm told Mr. Tabang Nari, another guest, is in. He's a former Zimbabwean government employee. Now, living in the United States, we'll start with Mr. Bruce Ncube. But before we do that, let's see what he does. That was choir master Bruce Ncube doing what he does best in London. He was born in Bulawayo in Juba, Zimbabwe, and was part of Umkati Theatre for a very long time. Now, Mr. Ncube, how do you conduct a choir with people who don't speak Zimbabwean languages?
It's quite a... By the way, good evening, everyone who's watching. My name is Bruce and I come from Juba. I was born in... and raised in Bulawayo. It's quite a difficult question to answer, but, I think a lot of people that come to my workshops are people that are interested in world music, so they find it easy to tune into our languages, because they are used to listening to a lot of different music from different parts of the world. So yeah, I find that most of the times it's groups and people that have been exposed to, you know, music from different worlds and singing in different languages. It is quite a challenge when you're meeting people that are doing it for the first time. But in the end, you know, it's music. You know, everybody loves music, and we get there.
Mm-hmm. You appear to have caught the attention of the whole world with what you're doing. How do you do this?
I'm very lucky, to be honest, Uti. A lot of people tend to share my videos, you know, all over the world, and I've met people that are really influential in the music world, and also in the political spaces in Zimbabwe, I must say, you know, both from ZANU-PF, from MDC, from CCC, from whatever, from Shona people, from the Kalana people, from the Ndebele people. So in a sense, I'm very lucky, because people tend to share my work and it spreads all over the world. And, you know, it's fascinating to see Zimbabweans, you know, watching white people singing in their own languages. And that's the one thing that I think as Zimbabweans we take lightly, and we don't really quite appreciate our own languages and our own music, which is unique in its own way.
So can we simply say that when you left Zimbabwe, you were in the music industry, and up to now we are still in the music industry. And did you struggle to do all this what you are doing overseas?
No, I didn't start doing this overseas. I came here with Umkhathi from 2004. Umkhathi Theatre Works, that's the group that trained me when I was young. And so in 2005, I started doing my own thing. Not my own thing, but I was recruited by another group called Grassroots Theatre Company. So from the time I was traveling with Grassroots Theatre Company, I started teaching harmony singing with them. And, you know, it's grown from there. It's taken a lot of interest from different people in the UK, and yeah, I'm still here and doing it.
Okay, hold on there. We'll come back to you. Now let's turn to Mr. Thabang Nare, who was a Zimbabwean government worker. Now you are here in the USA, Mr. Nare, and back home we know you're working for government. What are you doing now in the USA, and did you struggle to get where you are, the job and all those kind of things? Welcome to the program.
Yeah. Thank you, Dube. Very interesting position you have placed me there. So, Dube, I think as an immigrant, one of the things that you need to look at is... You can hear me there, Dube?
Yes, I can. Yes, yes.
Thank you, thank you. Mm-hmm. I was saying, as an immigrant, you know, you go through a reality or culture shock where you discover that the opportunities that you thought would be there might not be there. And also, you have to look at the culture. You know, you might not understand the culture of the place that you're in, and it might take you a bit of time to adjust and understand that. So while I worked for the government back home, and also worked for some non-governmental organizations, non-profits, when I came here, I had to be practical about my opportunities. I had worked as a teacher back home, but that was not something I wanted to do. So currently I work as an independent contractor in healthcare. So there are great opportunities in healthcare. So this is why you see people going into nursing, going into mental health, and associated work related to healthcare, because that's one area of opportunity. So yeah, it's good to have a long-term view of your opportunities. It might take you going back to school, getting you know, a certificate from the country that you are now resident in, whether it's United States or it's United Kingdom. That's a way of them welcoming you. But as Ustumo used to say, each job, each job's value. As long as you can take care of the bills, have time with your family, make progress, you know. That is what is important in the diaspora.
Yeah, so can we say that up to now, each job is fine? The issue is, are you satisfied with the job that you're doing? Was it your choice, or you had no choice altogether?
I think I've worked like at least 4 or 5 different jobs, and I know different friends. I know of a friend in Canada who shared that when they first arrived, he used to work at a farm and he was picking tomatoes. But now he has made so much progress, he's worked in the financial industry. So I am grateful for where I am, where we are as a family. But there are sacrifices along the way. So it gets better with time, but you also need to make good contact with the local people, good contact with other Zimbabweans who have migrated to that particular country. And you always are sharing opportunities to say, this is an area where there are opportunities, and you balance things as you go.
And how difficult is it for somebody to, you know, upgrade your educational qualifications to get a job of your choice?
I think that's one of the things that are very possible. The only challenge would be the student funding. You know, at times it's not easy as an immigrant to get funding for you to be a student. So you might need to make sacrifices as a family. If you have a couple, so one member of the couple or one spouse can go to school while the other spouse is doing extra work and helping to support the other spouse, and then at a future time, the other spouse does that. So there are sacrifices that you need to make along the way. It is possible. There are what they call community colleges here, where education is more affordable. And with the, you know, the evaluation, you can get your certificates evaluated, and you can get some credits, or you can be recognized for the work that you did back home. You know, but not all of that is possible. At times you've heard people like doctors, maybe from Africa, who end up working as nurses, you know, or doctors who then almost have to go back to school again here.
That's a tough situation, Mr. Nari.
Yes, it is.
Thanks very much. Stay on the line. We've got Miss Matutu, Victor Matutu of Zimimbogoto. Excuse me. Now over to you, madam. Indications are that you struggled to get a job of your choice in South Africa when you left Zimbabwe. Why? Miss Matutu?
Hello.
Welcome to the show, madam.
Thank you.
Oh, yes. So indications are that you may have struggled to get a job of your choice when you got to South Africa at the moment you left Zimbabwe. Why was that? Why did you struggle?
Hello.
Yes, Nyaguzo. We are Nizo and Matut.
Yeah, Nyaguzo, but I didn't get your question.
All right. So, what to suggest Zimbabwe was here in South Africa? What to room 707 Zekaya, Kumbe? What to Tatum 707 Kabelani? The local was in Zekaya.
I couldn't get a pandemic, what you are listening to the car, I can't touch as a little bit of a car.
Yes, our colleague, back to Mr. Bruce Ngobe in London. Baba Ngobe, can you hear me?
Yes.
Now, my question is, now you are based in London, but we are told that you are moving from country to country. You have visited over how many countries?
Up into at least 6 different countries. UK in Jova Lisaz is a country with at least 3 different countries. So I'm all over Wales, Scotland, and England, just traveling and teaching in schools, in festivals, choirs, and different places.
Yeah, so there are amazing things that you're doing in terms of conducting choirs. How do you put all those people together?
How do I put these people together? Sometimes it's festivals. You know, most festivals, there's a certain crowd that goes to each festival all around the world. So you find there's a crowd that's already there that I'm supposed to be teaching. When you do choirs as well, it's a similar thing. So a choir might have 50 people, a choir might have 100 people, a choir might have 20 people. It just depends on time. But sometimes local people, when they want to raise money for charities and everything else, they bring me, well, they pay me as well, but they use the event as a way of fundraising for whatever they want to fundraise for. And so you find there's a mixed group of people that probably belong in choirs, or people that are just individuals who are interested in learning music in a different language and everything else.
Yes, so it's just our little mama lapa. In your house, you want to enjoy the parents and let this way. Bagula lele katesu kuti katuti nungubela. Akuba chetu wena uzu uze kona ngapo kwa kwa mbenja njalo umse unzu wako yuna loo uze kaya kumbwa kwa chinji.
Mina mkulele enjube lape mfunze kono ucha ngungu uchabe la lukita. Umse mbenja wama uzangu chinji. Sensi mbuye lapa sengle mnyaga maybe 17 over 10 years mfundisa. Ngidwe akithi ingungu zakithi ingoma zakithi uqala kwami ngiqale ngumuntu otshaya izimbiza ngemva kwendlu kagogo lapho engikhulele khona yabona ngiphendulela izimbiza zibe ngani izingungu like ama drums and all of that abantu bemkhathi theater wethu basebengibona ngisenza lokhu basebengibiza ke bathi buyizwe zama lawe maybe ungayenza something. So from then on ikuqale khona italenta lami lapho angizange ngithathe kancane ngibele nhlanhla ngoba umama wami ubengisapota kakhulu ekwenzeni into zami zemgido lezi wangisapota ngaze ngafika kuleli ibanga ngilo manje and ngilapha nje kuthanda kwabantu abangikhulisileyo abantu abangichasileyo la
ye ngazihlunga ulimi lwethu vela olelokuthini kuyadlisa yini.
Yiyo enye into eqakathekileyo okumele siyikhulume lapho ukuthi abantu nxa bebona into zakithi babone engani kuthiwa yinto ezilula kakhulu. Thina siyayayisa imigido yakithi, siyayayisa izingoma zakithi, traditional songs esizifundiswe ngogogo besitshela inganekwane besizikhuluma. Ungakhangela lapha emazweni lapha esikhona e-USA, e-UK, e-Australia and all of that, abantu balapha baqakathekiswe kwakibo. Ungananzelelela njalo futhi abantu abaphelelayo kakhulu kwezwe yomculo ngabantu abaqakathekisa isiko lakibo, abaletha into zakibo kuleli lizwe. Ungabuya lapho ube ngumuntu okopayo into zemazweni. Esikhathini esiningi ukuthi uzuphumelele kunzima ngoba balakho kwakibo lapha wena ozama ukukwenza. So mina labanye nje abanye from West Africa and North Africa and all of that, ngananzelela abantu abaningi abaphumelelayo ngabantu abayenza into zakibo. So to answer your question, kuyadlisa kakhulu, ngibhadala kwakho kuhle nje kakuhle.
So singathi kapuladok.
Kapuladok.
Alright. So sibuyele njalo kubaphuthi abamnalo. Mr. Nare, back to you. Are you still on the line?
Yeah, to me.
Yeah, so looking at how things are going, you know, like you came to this country, and then there's somebody who wants to come to USA to, you know, do a job or whatever, you know, to work around here. What should they do when they arrive here so that they can get a job of their choice?
It also depends which state you arrive in. I'm sure this applies in the UK, it applies in Australia or South Africa, which province you arrive in. And in that province, usually there's this idea of a sponsor, someone from back home, someone, you know, within the school system or wherever, who can guide you and say the opportunities are here. People from back home in Zimbabwe, they are known to care for other people. So in different parts of the world, there's a high demand for care workers at different levels. There's a high demand for doctors, high demand for nurses. So those are some of the professions where it's easy to plug in, you know. And at least for those a few years, while you are figuring out what to do, what other opportunities exist, or getting the certificates or the licenses that you need.
Mm.
Because even to be a teacher, you need a license in the U.S. So it might take you 3 years for you to get the license. They could help you get a license while you are still teaching. Mm. But all of these things are a process. So don't look at where you are and say, I can't do this job because, you know, I can't lift up these things for Amazons, you know, pick up the packages, the boxes. You can, it doesn't mean that because you've started with that, that's where you end. In 5 years, you'll be doing something totally different. You'll be sitting in an office. You'll be working from home. Work from home is a good option also because at times you have abantwana, you have your children, and childcare all over is expensive. You know, so if one spouse is doing childcare, another person can be doing something else. And obviously, opportunities are different for different age groups, for young people, middle-aged people, for people as they call it.
Yeah, thank you very much. Let's go back to Ms. Matutu. So, Ms. Matutu, you're also in Zim in Bowoto, and you're chairing that. So, what drove you to do that?
What I can say about the formation of the Zim in Bowoto came about because there were a lot of women that were committing suicide, especially in Johannesburg, where I reside. So upon following up that what was causing these suicide women, I then found out that women they didn't have a platform to speak about whatever bothered them. So they ended up ending their lives because they had no one to talk to. They had no platform to talk to about their problems that they are seeing in life. Because in Johannesburg, the real truth is people are suffering. There is a lot that people are going through that lead them to committing suicide. So after seeing that there are lots of women committed suicide in like 2016, then I thought it was the time when I had to create a platform so that women can live a place where we talk and where to discuss whatever is eating them up before they took a decision of killing them. So that's how the Zim in Bowoto and all came back. So it was all about women. Yes, of course, we cater for children, but it was mostly about women. We just wanted to give women a platform to express their feelings, to say whatever is bothering them before taking a drastic decision.
Thank you very much, Ms. Matutu. I think we have come to the end of our show today. We thank our guests and everyone who was listening to the show. Signing off in Washington, I am Kip Stube.